During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine, the contest with Russia, and over these last days, diplomacy. Last week, on the 16th, the president told us that after a two-hour phone call with Vladimir Putin, that they were looking to meet in Budapest, Hungary, which is Viktor Orban's state, understood as a member of the EU, a member of NATO, but on the fence when it comes to the Ukraine conflict, though it borders Ukraine. We're now told, confusingly, postponed or not yet or canceled. It depends on the headline writer. None of this is clear. There is, however, diplomacy going on, even when something is not going to happen that was promised to happen or at least intended to happen. That makes the fog of diplomacy just as difficult as the fog of war. However, there are large points to talk to that are firm. One is that Mr. Zelensky traveled to Washington last Friday to meet with the president. He had a number of his leadership with him, and they were looking for commitments for the energy node, for money, and for a particular weapon called the Tomahawk, which is a cruise missile, usually fired by the U.S. Navy, can be fired from land. It has a range of 1,600 miles, I'm told. Carries a warhead, can carry a nuclear warhead if it needs to. However, it was an alarm bell for everybody thinking this is an escalation. Kremlin called it escalatory, did not add any other details to it. However, the Tomahawk was what we were told Mr. Zelensky wanted. This is fog of diplomacy. There's no clarity here. It's not going to be. If somebody writes postponed, somebody writes canceled, somebody writes fired, they can't be firm. They change their minds all the time. That's the dance. I'm setting this all up for Gregory to help us understand we've been here before. An intractable conflict in which one side is clearly going to prevail because of its resources and its intention and its leadership. The other side is looking for its best outcome. There is no best outcome when it comes to the long-standing, I mean hundreds of years conflict between Ukraine and its region. However, Gregory, the interpretation now is that the two presidents are in some fashion in communication about resolving Ukraine. That is positive. At the same time, there's no reason to believe there's going to be escalation similar to what the Tomahawk would provide Ukraine, the ability to strike the energy nodes with big warheads that would damage Russia's ability to continue. Right now, there are long lines of gasoline, I'm told by somebody who just came back, long lines of gasoline, and there can be spotty cell phone coverage, concerned that the incoming drones from wherever they're fired by Kyiv zero in on Ukraine on cell phone towers. So there's a state of war between Moscow and Kyiv. There's a state of diplomacy between Washington and Moscow. What should we watch for?
Well, I think, firstly, we can take it for granted that the Tomahawk deal will not go through because the U.S. doesn't want escalation to that point. Secondly, you can take it for granted that when the great powers start getting together, they will decide what's in their common interests, and all pledges to the smaller dependent powers, such as Ukraine, will go by the board. So the undying pledges of undying support for Ukraine are really theater in political terms because throughout history, the great powers have to do what they have to do, and that will sacrifice the subordinate powers to their greater need. And for the United States recognized very early that, as soon as President Trump came in, that Ukraine was actually worsening the global strategic position for the United States, risking an escalation into a major global conflict with another superpower, nuclear equipped, such as Russia. So it basically, it's not in the United States' interest to allow Ukraine to continue fighting this, nor to allow it to escalate the war against Russia. Now, the European powers are in such bad shape, Britain, France, Germany to a degree, and Poland and the like, they're saying, well, look, we'll back Ukraine because we're afraid of Russian expansionism. That's really a contrived excuse, because we haven't seen Russian expansionism. We've seen NATO expansionism. So the case for supporting Ukraine in Europe has been to give the troubled governments in Britain, France, Germany, and the like, an excuse to distract their populations. They, too, will start weaning off supply for Ukraine. This is why Zelensky is petrified of the Trump-Putin talks. Now, those talks have been postponed, as you say, but there's been, apart from the talks between President Trump and President Putin, you've had Secretary of State Marco Rubio talking to the Russian foreign minister just in the last day or so, and they've agreed to postpone it. But the fact is that the momentum is rolling towards some kind of agreement, and that agreement will be along the current lines of the troops in eastern Ukraine, whether it'll be a ceasefire, whether there'll be a peace agreement or not, remains to be seen. But we're now coming to the end of the options that President Zelensky has. We know, and he knows, that there's going to be some territorial loss for the modern shape of Ukraine, back to its earlier shape, perhaps without eastern Ukraine being part of that. So it's going to be an interesting thing, but President Zelensky cannot expect the rest of the world to bankroll his attempts to draw the world into a war. So it's going to, there's an historical inevitability about where this is going, because he is not in the driver's seat, and the great powers are.
NATO. Over these last days, we're told that NATO is mixed opinion of continuing Ukraine. Hence, birth of the Coalition of the Willing, which is a short list: UK, France, Germany, Italy, and some others who may or may not appear, Poland and the Baltics, who are frustrated, are scheduled to meet London time Friday morning this week with Mr. Zelensky. They've already said they support peace. They support Zelensky. They don't do much more than use words. Is that what we should look for from Europe from right now on, the rhetoric of support without facts?
Well, yes, and in fact, all of those the members of the Coalition of the Willing are generally opposed to each other in various ways. So there's no real consensus as to how to proceed with supporting Ukraine. Italy is skeptical. The United Kingdom may see a change of government sooner rather than later if the government of Keir Starmer continues to fail. We may see some dislocation of the French government if it continues on its present path. We've got tone-deaf heads of government in France and the United Kingdom at this stage, where they think they can persist with ideological or fantasy commitments whilst the public is busy trying to tear them apart. So it is not a stable situation. And if NATO is not involved, and if the United States is not involved, then it's literally making a messy end to things rather than bringing to a tidy conclusion to this conflict. And a tidy conclusion may be an unresolved border between Russia and Ukraine. It almost certainly will, in the short term anyway. But we've seen these ill-defined or undefined borders in every other conflict. We saw that with Armenia and Azerbaijan. We see it with Israel and the Palestinian lands, and even the borders with Syria and to a degree with Egypt. We see it throughout Africa, where borders are not necessarily always agreed. So a defined border is not necessarily going to be the absolute requisite, although it looks like it is. It looks like that is the definition of sovereignty and nationalism, but it's not necessarily the case, as history shows us.
Is there an explanation for why Europe is putting us through this? After all these decades of peaceful development and counting on the U.S. to defend them in the face of the Cold War, that ended in 91. Between 91 and 22, there was a moment for Europe to take charge of its own affairs. Is that too much to believe that it could have happened, that Europe remained passive?
It could have happened, but you've got a generation of politicians who are petulant and spoiled and do not understand the consequences of their actions. The preceding generation understood completely, and you had German leaders like Konrad Adenauer, you had a number of leaders in Britain and France, de Gaulle, actually taking the bull by the horns and saying, we'll make our countries great again. We saw that even, in Italy and so on, we saw this gradual realization. But we have now a number of politicians who just want to be in power. And you could argue that was the same with Jimmy Carter coming to power. He didn't care how big the mountain was that he stood on, as long as he owned the mountain. So if the mountain degraded beneath him, he was still happy because he was still on the top of the heap. And that's what we've got in Europe today with a lot of the leaders, particularly President Macron and Keir Starmer. It's as though they don't care what the right thing is to be done. They care about staying in power and are determined to do that regardless of the consequences.
It's got everything you need to be a superpower, except for a will to do it. Is that the way to think of it? They don't will themselves to be in charge?
Well, when you're driven by old-fashioned ideologies, which basically say that you're on the right side of history and you've got to just keep plugging away at it without reference to logic, and then it's like the old saying, if you keep doing the same thing and hoping to get a different outcome, then you're barking up the wrong tree. So right now, there is no question, how you need to reorganize the political and financial and economic structures of these countries. And we're seeing it done relatively successfully in Hungary, where in Poland particularly. Italy is taking the bull by the horns as well. So we're seeing that there are intelligent leaders who are attempting to do the right things. But one of the things they have to do is get rid of this old Soviet-style structure called the European Union, which has basically brought a new level of controls, bureaucracy, and inefficiency to Europe. And that's now also affecting Britain, still affecting Britain, even though Britain has left the European Union.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, and most importantly, the author of the new book, Noble State, about the success of constitutional monarchy. We're going to one such right now. It's troubled, but it also has a leader.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
During the right run.
Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.